There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Back on the scene. With your host, yeah. Podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 645. This is your host, Danny, and joining me this week, only Pete. No Paris this week.
Only Pete. Wow, you make it sound like... Never mind.
You don't mess with y'all.
Got to keep this show PG, so let's keep it moving. How you doing?
Good, man. Good. Getting ready for the premiere. By the time you guys hear this, you're probably going to see pictures online or everything of the Messengers podcast documentary premiere, their official full movie world premiere at the Tampa Theater. I don't know if you've seen that theater before, Pete.
No.
It's a 90-year-old theater. It's a very historic theater in Tampa.
Interesting. Okay.
Looks amazing. Looks really, really cool. I think 1,400 people could fit in that theater. So they're always having like concerts. They play movies there all the time, especially indie films and stuff. So, but you got to see my outfit. What's your thoughts?
As someone who is rocking the bow tie in my Twitter pic, I have no room to talk.
Okay.
It's definitely out there. It's different.
Very different.
Not something I would expect someone like Danny Pena to be wearing. That okay. being said, it's very stylish and dapper. Shout out to you for stepping out. And like I said in the chat, I am surprised I'm surprised it's not an emerald green bow tie. It's almost as if you're renouncing your emerald throne.
Nah. For those that don't know, and if you've seen the pictures, go to my Twitter account or Facebook and so on. My cousin made an official, like a pretty cool Nintendo Switch theme bow tie for the premiere. Like I'm gonna be wearing that, and also I'm gonna take the Nintendo Switch with me at the premiere. The reason I did that is because I think I'm not 100% sure, but I think it makes a short cameo in the movie. So you know, because I'm there like playing with my brother and my nephews and stuff. So hopefully they show that in the movie, but I'm bringing it just in case. But it looks cool, really, really cool. Very detailed. When you look close to it, it's the same position of the analogs, buttons, even the screenshot button, the home button, everything, the plus and minus, look exactly like that. So it looks official. I like it. I like it a lot. Very different, like P said. So, yeah. But be surprised, it's not an emerald bow tie.
Like I said, I'm dead serious. Like it completely took me by surprise that thing wasn't shining emerald green.
You show it to your wife?
No, not yet. Not yet. I'll show it to her.
You should.
It was something I wasn't expecting. And like I said in the chat again. I was about ready to write up a press release and everything. Like Danny Pena has renounced his emerald status and has gone straight over to the Nintendo team.
I'm loving the Switch, man. I mean, it's not no fanboy stuff, but I'm really loving the Switch. And speaking of Switch, later on during this episode, I'm going to be reviewing the snipper clips with Mandy. She's going to be joining me during the review, and we talked about it a lot about this $20 game and why we play it a lot and love it so much. So just stay tuned. It's pretty cool. Also, we have voicemails, a lot of emails too for fan mail later on. But Pete, I think earlier today we were reading some major changes coming up for YouTube. I know this a lot of listeners that also have like YouTube channels and stuff like that. And I know you mentioned it too on our chat, like other situations have been going on with YouTube. They're going to make a lot of changes pretty soon, I believe.
If they're not already going on, I know that some of, if not all of the at least the YouTube streamers that have been utilizing what they call fan funding. Looks like YouTube mm-hmm. has essentially shut that down moving forward. So people who were using YouTube to, I guess, monetize beyond advertisements, like they were just getting, you know, in essence, I guess it's YouTube's version of what Twitch does with subscribing, where you could send $5, $10. I've seen people subscribe and throw hundreds and thousands of dollars at people. That's still something that baffles the mind. Like, I don't see how people can say, okay, look, you know, thank you for putting up, you know, this content on Twitch coming, you know, this is someone who has a young, you know, I don't even think I've hit 100 subs yet. But people who would say, okay, look, thank you for putting up this content. Here's $100. Here's $500. It still baffles the mind that things like this happen.
I think that I don't see an issue with that. I think that's like the power of the community.
Oh no, don't get me wrong. I don't see an issue with it at all either. I think it's really, really cool that people are able to take something like this, something that they put, and I'm actually at 99 followers. So now it's like, now I have to go on this social media blast and try to get over 100 just to make it a big deal. I think it's fantastic that people have been able to do something like this, which is essentially, you know, tapping into the entrepreneurial spirit, taking something that is missing, you know, content creation, and being able to monetize that outside of the traditional, you know, ad revenues, you know, that, you know, people like we do, we take advantage of that, you know, shout out to Blue Apron for sponsoring us, up to this point so far. But YouTube has decided, you know what, we're going to cancel fan funding. So now people who have income as a direct result of these subscription money making, opportunities now lose some of their income. And I think it was Alana Pierce, who's a writer producer at IGN, tweeted about that earlier this week. I think it was yesterday, saying that she's going to lose about 70% of her income from YouTube as a result of YouTube canceling fan funding.
That's a lot. And I believe too, they're also making changes with their advertisers too, that some advertisers are pretty, how I say this, they are not really happy with where their ads shows up at one of the like certain videos mm-hmm. or certain channels on YouTube, because maybe it's just the content is just too much and it just doesn't look good for the advertisers, you know, and they're not happy with it. So,
right,
because a lot of them were speaking out about that, the CEO of Google, and also people in charge of the YouTube team and everything, they're deciding, they're looking into it, but they're probably going to decide to remove a lot of ads that's available on like certain YouTube channels, either if it's like too controversy or just too much. It could be anything. It could be from like just like politics or gaming. It could be anything that's just too much, very controversial videos. They're going to YouTube has the right to remove that if they decide, you know. So that's the thing with depending on free hosting. Mm-hmm. Like I've been saying this for a very long time, and I learned from my mistake back in the days, you know, when I started the whole internet radio. I had my first podcast, my first internet radio through mp3.com, and I wasn't paying anything. It was like totally free. So the way I was making money was every time that someone would stream my content, I would get paid from that, right? So I'll never forget this. You know, I got my first check, $500. I was super excited. I'm like, man, I got to continue posting more content, more stuff. And then eventually, mp3.com sent a letter to an email to everybody, too, that has their website there available, mm-hmm. that they were going to shut down. And that's it. So just download everything. Everything's going to get shut down within a certain amount of time. I'm like, what? Because they ran out of money. There was no advertisers at all, but they lost a lot of money. So from that situation, I said to myself, I've never going to use free stuff like that and depend on that so much, because anything could change in the future that's going to affect my business. And, you know, that's why I've been saying this for a very long time. You know, I feel bad for a lot of YouTubers that been creating great content, which I follow a lot of people. Now YouTube decides to make some changes. There's nothing that a YouTuber could do, because at the end of the day, it's up to Google, it's up to YouTube if they want to make these changes, because they are the ones paying these bills, not you, the content creator. Am I right?
No, and it's not like this is just out of the blue, right? YouTube made a notification. You know, they made, you know, they put this out there. Like, I think it was early January that they were going to shut it down, that, you know, fan funding was going away. And it wasn't because, you know, I'm actually, as I read more into it, it's not that it's, you know, they don't want people to donate or to support these content creators. They just felt that they weren't getting what they expected as a result, right? So they thought by doing this that they would be able to support creators that weren't just original content creators, people who were doing live streams and stuff like that. They were under the impression of something like this, because it's been around for many years. And they knew, and you know, so the creators knew that come the end of February, it was going bye-bye. So, you know, it's a shame, but hopefully if they've got something coming up in as a replacement, because the people that have, you know, people, you know, this is a form of revenue that people, you know, support themselves and their families with, by taking this away, it hurts them. And I don't know if what they're calling Super Chat, is going to be the answer, right? So it's...
I think too, Pete, if you've seen there's so many changes with YouTube that's not helping you, go with Twitch and maybe become a Twitch Prime member. Maybe that will help, because at the end of the day, that right there, you're paying something for like extra features that's not available for the free version, you know?
Well,
at least something like that, in my opinion.
The cool thing with the whole Twitch Prime thing is, as an Amazon Prime subscriber or Amazon Prime member,
yes,
you get one free paid subscription a month. So you can, you know, whatever would be, I guess, a nominal fee towards that Twitch, that the Twitch broadcaster would get something, as opposed to you having to pay, and it gives you an opportunity to open up and risk-free subscribe to a channel once a month. How much, you know, the broadcaster actually makes, I don't know the specifics of, and I don't want to try and talk outside, you know, my realm of knowledge, but it's things like that that take this new medium, because if you think about it, it's still a relatively new medium as a whole, you know, original content creation on YouTube and on video channels. It's still relatively new. And a lot of this at the end of the day, because, you know, this is America and this is a money, you know, this is a money driven system that we live in. The people over at the major networks take notice of something like this. It's taking away potential viewers from, you know, their typical broadcast channels, and it could hurt them. You know, that it may not be the large shellacking that the cable subscriber or the cable providers are seeing as a result of things like Netflix, who are just destroying it online. But yeah, it's doing something.
Yeah, we'll see. And for those that are listening, you know, let us know what you think, your thoughts and everything. And but Pete, we're going to take a short break, and once we come back, we're going to review Snipper Clips with special guest Mandy, and after that, It's all about fan mail. And maybe we might have the return of Paris.
Oh.
He's coming back.
Oh.
We'll see. Oh. We'll see. Stay tuned. Only here on Gary Tag Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Back on the scene. This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we have a review here for this week's episode of Gamertag Radio. Snipperclips. This is for the Nintendo Switch, developed by SFB Games, published by Nintendo. And also I have a special guest here because she also has a Nintendo Switch. Mandy, she's back.
Yay! Hi again, guys. I'm just going to like magically appear all the time for like,
yeah, right?
Switch discussions.
Switch discussions, yeah. Awesome. So how's everything with the Switch? And I know you had a trip to Florida, right?
Yeah. So I got to take it for travel, you know, flying, really test how portable it was.
Yes.
And I'm honestly impressed. I got a little over 3 hours on the battery, kind of like we had discussed before, but I plugged in my power bank. And it's a really slow charge when I'm playing. So I played for like another, okay, I don't know, 20 minutes. And then was like, oh, I'm going to take a quick nap because I was getting in kind of late. So I was like, eh, just because. And, you know, left it charging, but like put it into sleep mode, set it away. And like 30 minutes later, pull it out. And I went from like, I don't know, maybe like 15% up to about 50 in a 30-ish minutes on the power bank, and was like, dude, that's another couple hours of playing.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Because you have it on sleep mode, so that's good.
Yeah, I had it on sleep mode, and it was like, you know, I took the bus out to the airport, so I had, you know, walked out, hopped on the bus, popped it out, started playing. Oh, we're coming into the airport. Okay. Literally threw it back in its case, like put it to sleep, threw it back in the case, dropped it in my bag, and was able, once I got to my gate, to like sit down, pop it back out. So it really has that kind of handheld portability to it. The battery was fine. I had charged it up probably to like maybe 70-ish percent and then forgot about it because I was kind of on vacation and I didn't play too much besides Snipperclips. And like a week later with it in sleep mode, it popped back out. It was like, oh, it's in the, you know, like 10%. I should probably charge it before I fly back.
You finally played the game with your family or what?
Yes, it was actually quite hilarious. So we like, obviously I was traveling, so I hadn't thought to like recommend they get a, or hadn't bought like a USB-C to HDMI. So we couldn't hook it up to the TV, but we set it up on like a little table and all of us kind of scrunched in on the couch and played. Yes. And it was hilarious. We had like a couple, we're like, all right, we're like getting started solving these puzzles, you know? And then it was like one that I it was not my fault, but it was actually totally my fault. one puzzle that was just kept ending badly over and over again. And it devolved into like an argument of like, just work together. I'm going like, it's fine. No, don't do that. Immediately fails the puzzle. Like, oops.
Yeah, but I mean, we got to talk about like, for those that don't know much about the game.
Yes.
It's basically a puzzle. It's a puzzle game where you could play, you know, one player, two players, or actually you could play up to like two to four players to co-op or competition wise and so on. So I had the chance also, Mandy, to play four players with my nephews and with my brother.
We
were having a blast. Really, really tough. Like with four players, really tough. Because that's like everybody needs to work together in order to solve these puzzles. Each person is like a character, a different color. And you could, based on the puzzle, you could like cut each other up. Maybe to like go to like a certain area or maybe to carry something like a ball or this like random stuff in order for you and others to solve the puzzle. So if you play by yourself, one player, you could switch characters because there's two characters in there, like a red and yellow. And the same thing, you could cut it up you could bring back how it looks normal, and so on. So I think that the thing that I love about this game is that you could actually play local co-op. And to me, we've been missing that a lot in gaming. And that's the thing that Nintendo has always been really good at the whole, you know, local co-op part of gaming. So this game for $19.99, $20, I think it's like a must-have if you a Nintendo Switch owner, in my opinion. Because the thing is, you play this game and there's no instructions like how to actually finish it, how to solve
it. It's literally just like, here's what the controls are. Good luck. And we had that a few times. So for me, it was really entertaining. And I will caveat this, like any game, if you play multiplayer, that you should definitely play it with the right people.
Yes,
like the first couple of puzzles seemed really easy for us. And it was mostly me and my dad playing, and it was actually really hilarious because we're like, all right, is this like it? But then we got to a puzzle and we're like, what are we doing here? And there was this moment of confusion where we're kind of arguing over what we think we're supposed to be accomplishing. And then we did a couple of like, all right, let's press this button. Let's do this thing. And we're like, okay, we got it now. And then it's like, it devolved into the hilarious type of argument of like, how are we going to best accomplish this? Like, go with my idea, go with your idea. We finally agree on an idea. Well, then we keep messing up doing everything, reform, start over. To give context, is you're not just solving puzzles, or well, you are just solving puzzles, but you have two characters that kind of look like ice cream, and you have the ability to clip out of the other people. So it's like, if I need to make a square, I'll turn myself around and clip on my partner or one of the other players and turn them into a square. And so you're kind of cutting out of each other. And if you mess it up, you can reform, jump. So you kind of have to get creative in thinking about like, how would I solve this puzzle with a shape or with shapes? How can we, you know, make this work for each other?
The other parts I haven't really used, try the compete 2v2 to see who could solve the puzzles first. I think I've only been trying the 2-player co-op and also 4-player co-op. But, I mean, the options are there. And the thing is, I played also with my fiance, and we've gotten really, really far. And the best part is, once we figure out a puzzle and we solved it, man, we looked at each other, high five and far away. So I love it. It's really, really good.
Yeah, I like that it's fun with the, I haven't done the competitive either. It was just fun to like do the puzzles and kind of like, I don't know, half of the fun is the failure or the like, we just messed that up. Like I had posted a screenshot from the one puzzle that was totally my fault, being like, I might have made this happen. And it just kind of like devolved. We're all like, no. And it, you know, it's interesting because you think about like, there's always all these puzzle games and all the critical thinking and stuff. But this was a really fun way to kind of do something silly, but having to think about it. And you know, when you fail, then you have to think harder, like the way puzzle games go, like, oh, we just did that wrong. Let's try this again. How would we make this work? And so like the idea that it's this, you know, essentially the equivalent of arcade game, it's $20. Was kind of like, this is exciting. Now, granted, if you're not too interested in like, I guess, either puzzle games or, you know, the local co-op, which I think is probably one of the most interesting parts about it, maybe it's not for you. But I feel like most people who have a Switch and are willing, like want to play, are going to enjoy this.
Yeah, definitely. And the thing is, don't get me wrong. Yeah, the puzzles are easy at first. But let me tell you, where I'm at right now with my fiance, it is tough. It's getting really, really difficult. But it's cool, man, because I think it's good because I think that everybody will figure out a way how to solve the puzzle. It's not everybody going to have the same solution.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe very, very close, maybe close to it, but it's not 100% like the same based on the solutions you have in the game.
And that's the fun part, is that it's one of those that that's how we got through one of the puzzles was quite interesting, because I'm like, all right, let's do it this way. And we like made it partway through and then failed miserably. You're like, all right, let's stop and think about this. My dad's like, all right, let's do it that way. And it, you know, we messed it up a couple of times, but his way ended up working. And it was just removed enough. So I think that was the fun part, was having, you know, a group of people sitting on the couch playing. I do wish we'd been able to throw it up on the screen so more people could have gotten kind of watched and been entertained. But that's really just like having the setup. And it was quite entertaining. Like the kind of silly arguments that break out over how to do it. And then, all right, we'll try your way first. Oh, your way failed. Now we're doing it my way. And you know, that made it fun, because it's been a while since I've had a co-op game have that sort of, puzzle related entertainment. There's a few that have been like co-op-y, like, okay, but not quite in the same way. In the same way of like cooperation to that sort of degree to solve a puzzle. So I enjoyed it.
I know people are going to ask you, how was it for you playing and your father too, like using the Joy-Cons for this game?
Oh yeah. So it took a little getting used to. I will admit that for me, it wasn't so bad. For him, it was a little harder, just because of the size of them. I mean, ideally this is the one instance where so far I've had where I wish the Joy-Cons were a little larger, but it wasn't horrible. It was more just remembering, you know, making sure that we were coordinating these smaller buttons we needed to press, and then forgetting which button on like the four key part was, you know, did what. Oh, I need to reform. Oh man, I jumped instead, or things like that. Mm-hmm. It didn't make our experience worse, but I just personally think, you know, we talked about it, that it would have been a little smoother in terms of like getting used to the controls if the Joy-Cons weren't quite so small. But I think it worked in the way that Nintendo wanted it to, where it was literally, I traveled with it. I like propped up the Switch on the table that we'd brought over in front of the couch, took off the two Joy-Cons first, handed him one, was like, hold it this way. They ran us through, you know, what the controls were. And then was like, all right, let's do this. And it was just every once in a while, I'd be like, oh, I want to do this. Which button was it again? So it worked. It worked in that sense. I think it'll be a little different for each person individually based on how large their hands are. And it was kind of my first concern. But the fact that it did work and we were able to play a number of levels without getting frustrated having the Joy-Cons, I think was great. Because then it's like, okay, it's not as bad as I was afraid it might be to just use the Joy-Cons like this.
Yeah, I think they designed in a way that anybody could just pick it up and play. So, you know, my nephews are 5 years old, 8 years old, and they picked it up and they started playing with no problems. They were just asking questions like, okay, what we should do? Like, I'm trying to figure this puzzle out, and I have to explain to them, okay, let's do this. Let's go here. Okay, you go over here. Like, it was cool. Like, there has to be a lot of communication in this game if you play with other people locally, local co-op and stuff. So, highly recommend it. It's only $19.99. Personally, if you have a Switch, try it out. Purchase it. It's very, very cheap. I think it's a must-have if you have a Nintendo Switch. So, Mandy, any last words before we wrap it up?
It's awesome. I'm entertained, and I actually want to play it with many more people. I'm like, take it into the office. See who I can make fail with me.
Yes, yes. All right, but thanks a lot, Mandy.
Thank you.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Back on the scene.
This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, red carpet is on the floor. Paris, welcome.
Hey, back. Yes, I'm back. I literally just ran from the gym, did my 600 reps, and here I am.
And you know what that means, right? He's ready for fan mail. Paris is joining us this time. That's good. All right. And it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right. So we have a couple voicemails. We have emails here. And I'm going to play this one because I've been holding this for a couple of days. And it's from a listener from all the way from Scotland. We're going to play right now.
Hi, guys. It's Devin from Scotland. I got a comment for Danny with regards to episode 643 when he interrupted Paris talking about the hype around Xbox Scorpio. Danny was citing a claim from one of the developers saying that the Scorpio was the most powerful console in the world. I just want to address that comment because I find it a bit funny. As far as I'm concerned, you know, if some guy is standing in front of a skyscraper that's 1,000 feet tall and someone's building one next to him that's going to be 1,200 feet tall, and the guy building the taller one shouting, "It's the best skyscraper in the world!" You know, at the end of the day, okay, fine. Technically, it is going to be more powerful, but and everyone will come out to look at it and say, "Oh, yeah, it's really nice." But you know, the people are going to pay the cheaper price to go up to the observation deck on the first building because let's put it this way: there's it's still about the same power comparatively to everything else, and there's more crap to do in the observation deck than the new building. So I think we just got to calm down on the hype and actually see what the Scorpio is going to deliver before we start hailing it as the most powerful console in the world. Anyway, that was my only comment there. I just wanted to respond to, there was a caller that was talking about UWP and Xbox One supporting that, and games might come out on UWP supporting both the PC and the Xbox. In my opinion, I don't think that really changes the goalposts. If Scorpio is supporting UWP, that's great, but I don't really think it changes the goalposts. As far as I'm concerned, it just means that they won't have to push out one disc for Xbox, one disc for PC. UWP, I would presume when load on the Xbox, the game is going to optimize itself for Xbox playback. So to me, I don't really see a massive difference between a disc on UWP optimizing itself for Xbox when it detects it, or an Xbox-specific disc. Although I could see that that might potentially reduce the cost for games, as PC games are usually cheaper. Anyway, shout out to all you, and Danny, stop interrupting Paris. Talk to you guys soon. Bye.
So, first of all, thank you so much for, I believe it's the second time calling on the show.
Stop interrupting
me. Thanks a lot. And yeah, see, like he's interrupting me right now. Mm-hmm. But see, first on that part, you know, the thing is, we're having fun. It's not like I'm trying to shut Paris and like, oh, it's all about me. I don't care about his opinion or Pete or and so on. Hey, man, we do that. And at the same time, too, is it could be also the connection to Skype. Sometimes I hear like a pause, and it sounds like it's like the Pete or Paris are done, and then I jump in and so on, whatever. So when I edit it, it sounds that I'm interrupting. But yes, sometimes, most of the time, yes, I do.
Yeah, I was just about to say, but the rest of the time it's wrong, fake news, sad, I don't agree, I'm building a wall, you know?
What you wow.
but all right, so that's number one. Number two, I think during the conversation that I've been having with the guys, I've never mentioned anything about price. We were just talking about power. And I said, this is from a developer's quote. Not mine, not Pete, not Paris. I said from a developer that's working on the game for the Scorpio.
But.
Now, do I, but do I agree with it? Or disagree? I don't know. I don't know. I have a huge question mark because I am that type of person that I would like to see it once they announce during E3. Number three, and my final one, because I know the guys want to say a few things too. The thing is, too, I think it. I know you probably started listening to the show recently and stuff. You could go back to last year, and I've been saying this for a very, very long time, that fans of the PlayStation, they're I think the hardcore audience are going to buy the Pro. Paris bought it. I know a couple of our friends bought the PlayStation 4 Pro. But at the end of the day, the regular consumers that don't care about 4K, don't care about power, they're going to go with the cheaper version because that's cheap. That's cheap, and that's great for that person, or maybe for their kids and so on. Same situation when the Scorpio launches later this year. It's going to be the same situation. Xbox One S is going to sell way more than the Scorpio.
So then Scorpio is pointless.
No, but so PlayStation 4 is pointless too?
Well, going by your logic, it is. You're basically saying that to the average person, why even bother with getting the half measure upgrade console? Just stick with what you got. That's what you're saying.
No, what I'm saying is that's for the hardcore audience, but the majority is going to be for the cheaper version,
so,
and you're still getting that same experience. The only difference is it just looks a little bit better than the other.
So then you agree with what I said last week then?
That what?
you agree with what I was saying last week then? Because I kept saying when the question came in, what is Project Scorpio closer to, a next gen console or is it closer to PS4 Pro? I said PS4 Pro and you're like, wrong. No, I disagree. You know, but now you're basically saying I was right. That's what you're saying.
No. What I'm saying, Paris, what I'm saying is, okay, when I understood from that question last week was more of, is it going to be, Scorpio is going to be exactly the same as the PlayStation 4? I said, no, it's going to be powerful than the Pro.
Yeah, no one's no one's argued that. Of course, it's going to be more powerful than the PS4 Pro, but it's not going to be a next gen console either. It is just a more higher powered, souped up Xbox One S that plays games in 4K, but it's not doing something next gen. It's going to do the same thing that the Xbox One S does, only in 4K.
But the thing is, too, and we have to mention this, too, is like we really don't know.
Of course not.
We don't know until E3. Right now, we're just coming up with random crap out of nowhere. Yeah. And it's like we're not 100% if this is true or not. Now, the way how the Xbox team has been talking about and promoting online and you know, posting hints here and there, it doesn't sound like an upgrade, though. Like the way how they're, I don't know, maybe just me.
Okay, wait. See, I feel like you're contradicting yourself here. But jump in if I'm off base here. It sounds like you just said they're not saying it's an upgrade. It, in other words, it's just a 4K Xbox One S. And look, I understand.
I don't know.
You literally have just said that Project Scorpio and the PS4 Pro are not necessary upgrades. The average person is not going to get one. They're going to stick with what they got. Because it's the cheaper option, right? So then, So then, it's not a next gen console then, because you have no incentive to go get it. That's what you just said.
You could play the same games regardless of whether you're on a Pro or a Scorpio versus a regular PS4 Slim or an Xbox One S. It's akin it's akin to what I've been saying on the Discord chat, which is there's no real reason for me to go get a 1080 Ti other than either A, I've got money to burn in my pocket, or B, I'm going to get a 4K TV, because at 1440 on a regular 1080, I'm getting, in my opinion, an amazing experience graphically. There's no reason to upgrade. There's no outstanding reason that encourages a consumer to go out and buy a Scorpio if they've already got an Xbox One S, other than if they got a 4K TV. Because at the end of the day, that's really the only bonus you're going to get. The game isn't going to change.
Can I say something?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
Fake news.
When I'm saying, Paris, I'll see you in court. Fake news. Sad. No, what I'm saying is, Paris, is that to us, we're probably like, it's an upgrade, whatever, right? But the way how, maybe it's just Microsoft, the way how they're marketing things and promoting things and saying things online, they make it seem like this is like some next gen stuff. That's what I'm trying to say. And also too, Paris, you and Pete, there are PC gamers. You guys make it seem like PC is next gen all the freaking time. Every time you upgrade,
yes. Wanna know why?
But wait. So why it can't be the same with consoles if it's an upgrade?
Here's why.
They're also upgrading stuff.
Here's why. I can play games in 4K 60 frames per second if I so choose. Can't do that on the Scorpion. That's the difference. That's what I've been saying.
How do you know?
Well, I don't. I'm assuming. Going back to what I said last week, I'm under the assumption that, let's just take Halo 6. I will not be playing Halo 6 in 4K ultra settings, 60 frames per second on single player. There's no freaking way. I'll be shocked. I'll be floored if I can do that. Whereas I built... I talked about this on the episode you weren't on, Danny, because your personal life's more important than a podcast.
But I added it. Punk.
I know. No, but my point is, the last episode, I even was saying to Pete, I built my PC to play The Witcher 3 in the ultimate fidelity that I could, which was in 4K ultra settings and damn near 60 frames per second. That's why I built the PC that I did at the time, right? So when you talk about Project Scorpio, unless it does that, to me, that's not a next gen experience. That is just, yeah, a higher resolution Xbox One S. And you just basically said that's exactly what it is. The same as the PS4 Pro is compared to the PS4.
And also, you have to understand, when people say, not just Paris and I, but when other people say that PC is the ideal experience, there's games that release on console that when people get to play it on PC, they have to download additional assets to get that stuff. You can't do that on a console. You can't download those additional graphical thing. I believe it was Fallout 4 that did it. I want to say Witcher 3 did it as well. There was an additional graphics pack you had to download after the original game, you know, finished loading, so that you could get all that extra bonus graphics that you could not get, you would not get on PlayStation 4 Pro or the upcoming Scorpio. It just can't do it.
Oh, I'm saying we don't know. That's the thing. At the end of the day, we really don't know. Right now, we're just debating, and who knows? Maybe you guys are right. Maybe I'm right. I don't know. But
so why are you arguing?
I'm just trying to answer this question, man. Because honestly, I've never mentioned anything about price. I don't know why he came up with this whole skyscraper price.
You've been the champion of 350.
Yeah.
So you have mentioned price.
That was last week.
This week is a totally new week and a totally new idea.
I said, during the conversation of that episode, I never mentioned anything about price. We were just talking about power, and I was like, look, I don't know. This came from a dev, so whatever. I'm just saying. All right, so we should play the second voicemail here. And this is cool. This is another listener. This is about, again, about, is Xbox in trouble? Let's play this voice right here.
What's going on, Gamertag? This is Julian from St. Louis. And I just wanted to talk about Xbox a little bit. I hear a lot of people saying how Xbox is in trouble. I don't believe so. They are behind, but they're still doing very well. Phil Spencer has talked about restructuring the Xbox brand. And it's really turning Xbox into more of a platform versus just a console. So I don't think it's a, I mean, initially I did think it was a problem allowing all the Xbox exclusives to now be played on PC. But turning Xbox into a brand overall kind of solidifies the longevity of gaming from Microsoft's standpoint. I do think that in the next year or two, we're going to see kind of a resurgence of that old Microsoft or that old Xbox that we saw with 360. I really think that we're going to see a lot of good stuff popping up at E3 this year. I'm not sure what your thoughts are on that, but I'm not at the point where I'm going to count Microsoft out yet. Thanks, guys. Love the show. Keep it going.
Okay. Well, as he said, and we know this because Microsoft has essentially been doing this for the past couple of years. They started with having Xbox not just as the console brand, but now it's an app on Windows 10. You know, I think Paris and for the most part, you know, force-fed us this about a year and a half ago with the whole concept of that. UWP is another concept that Phil has been pushing along with Microsoft to ensure that Microsoft isn't reliant on hardware to sell. I mean, yes, their bread and butter right now is Xbox Live because that makes money hand over fist. And with 6 million subscribers, that's a lot of cash flow coming in. But you need to offset hardware costs. So with that being said, and it goes back to the concept of Scorpio. Scorpio isn't going to be the money-making endeavor that everybody thinks it is. It's a niche product for a niche market. And all they're trying to do is they don't care whether you play on Xbox One, on Xbox One S, if you still play it on Xbox 360, or if you play it on Scorpio, or you go out and you buy, you know, a machine, as long as it's got Windows 10, you're still playing an Xbox. Mm. And that's all they care about. $60 is $60, and they don't care whether it's on a disc or it's a downloadable, if it's downloadable on your PC. So whether they're out of trouble yet, it still remains to be seen. The Scorpio pre-announcement event that they've been, that people have been speculating about, that's happening pre E3, and the E3 event is going to, I don't want to say it's going to make or break them, because Microsoft is still a powerhouse in this industry, but it's going to go a long way to determine whether the viability stays longer term than initially expected.
Paris?
Well, I mean, I'm trying to think how to say those other than what we've already talked about, you know, with regards to this. I feel like, see, here's the thing. When you look at games like Fable and Scalebound and all this getting canceled, what else are their internal studios working on? And this has been the thing that we've talked about over the last few weeks. I just see their exclusive lineup being very paltry, you know, probably for the next couple years, unless they're really sitting on something super secret. Talked about it again. For me, Forza, and I guess the rumor now is it'll be called Forza X, because I think it's going to be the 10th one in the series. Forza X, Crackdown 3, Sea of Thieves. That's not enough for me this holiday. So we probably know we'll see a Halo 6 or whatever next year. And then probably 2019, we'll see a Gears 5, right? But you need to start sprinkling in more games along with that, you know, to entice people to want to play things on your platform. But like we said before, I agree with what Microsoft is doing, the road that they're going down, taking Xbox from just being a console and turning Xbox into a platform. And like Pete just said, doesn't matter. They don't give a crap where you play it on, as long as you're playing their games. But at the same time, you need to give me games that I want to play. And that's where Microsoft could potentially be in trouble if they can't beef up their internal library in the next couple of years. Whereas we see a lot of the stuff that Sony's doing. Look, love it, hate it, like it, I really don't care. Facts are facts. Sony's internal studios are freaking kicking ass right now. And they still have more games that are coming out over the next couple of years that people are going to want to play and people are going to pay attention to. So Microsoft, if they want to catch up, forget Project Scorpio, all that stuff, deliver the games, period. Got good games, I will be there to play them. Doesn't matter the platform.
All right, so let's play the next voicemail. This is from a caller all the way from Las Vegas.
Hey, guys. It's Leo from Las Vegas checking in. Really appreciate your show. Keep up the good work. My question is, you guys briefly talked about Xbox Scorpio and Microsoft HoloLens in the last episode. My question is, why is it, and I think Danny brought it up briefly, and Paris and Manny shot it down, but why is it that you guys don't think that Microsoft would try to have the HoloLens work with Xbox Scorpio? When you consider all things, the HoloLens, I believe they are pushing the release date now for commercial release in 2018. The Xbox Scorpio, with its immense graphical and processing power, should be able to handle something of this nature. And Phil Spencer himself already said he's not really thrilled with VR. So what do you guys think about Microsoft really trying to push the envelope with augmented reality and the HoloLens being the next frontier? Thanks, guys. Keep it up.
All right, Pete, this is about the Xbox Scorpio and HoloLens. Your thoughts?
I'll tell you why. I don't think Microsoft will package HoloLens with it. HoloLens has a purported $3,000 price point, and there's no way they're going to put that much effort and money into a product to cut a cost and try to bundle it with Scorpio. I mean, at $3,000 is a monster price point. I don't care what tax bracket you reside in. That's a lot of money.
Isn't that for developers? That's not the retail price. That's for developers, OP.
Yeah, so that means it's going to be $3,000. Look, $3,000 is the price point because it's not at market right now anyways for the public. There's no way that they're going to market and put that into, and even if it, and even if they sell Scorpio at that mystical $350, which there's no way it's going to happen, even if they sell it at $350, there's no way they're going to put this together with a product that's going to overshadow it. We don't even know if HoloLens is going to be able to function with Scorpio. I mean, I don't see it happening. I don't think if we get it, we're going to get a very, very stripped down version of HoloLens. And for that, why even bother? You might as well just go back to Kinect.
Okay. Paris, do you have any comments about that? Because...
Well, I mean, my comment on it is I don't think Microsoft is going to go down the AR road anytime soon with HoloLens. Again, when we tested it out a couple years ago, there's no way in hell it was ready for any type of mass consumption on a consumer scale. So they said at E3 last year, VR. They didn't say AR. They said VR. I just don't think they're going to do VR in 2017. They'll probably, you know, push VR with, like I said, whatever the 2.0 product for VR is going to be in 2018. That seems to make the most sense. HoloLens will eventually come along. I just think we're still way too early in the game for to expect it to be, you know, on a mass scale that they're selling it with a console. So I don't see it anytime soon.
Right. And according to the WindowsCentral.com website, $3,000 is the price for HoloLens. Now, they have been working with product owners like HP, Asus, Lenovo, Acer, and Dell. They're going to have affordable VR headsets using the API of Windows Holographic, bringing it to market at around $300 a headset, which puts it at or about the same as, what is it, PlayStation's VR headset. And for the most part, most of those mid-range headsets, I'm not going to put it in the same vein as a Vive or an Oculus, because that's $600. That's not the market they're going for, especially if it's going to be anywhere near the Scorpio. So, again, if you get it bundled in with Scorpio, it's going to be a stripped down version of what HoloLens could be. If you want the full HoloLens experience, you need to come out of pocket heavy at $3,000 a box.
Again, that's for developers. I think if they release this for like the consumers and it's in stores and Best Buy and everywhere, it's not going to cost $3,000.
You didn't listen to anything I just said, did you? They're coming to market with the affordable stripped down version for $300 that uses parts of Microsoft's holographic platform. And it's going to have a HoloLens like AR headset, but you're not going to get the full HoloLens experience. It's a $3,000 unit. Okay.
Well, we don't know. That's the thing, Pete. We really don't know until in the future when they make more announcements. Like right now, I feel that you're saying that, why are they going to have different versions like that? Like, I don't know. A strip-up version? Hmm.
All right. I'm just going by WindowsCentral.com. You know, it's. I think they're going to have a little bit more information on this. So,
mm-hmm. When it might be officially out?
No, they didn't, because at the end of the day, these things are still 2 or 3 years away from the public. They're nowhere close to bringing this to market. They're still trying to figure out everything. You don't jump into this, although Microsoft has done this with other things, but they're not going to jump into market with a half-baked concept and not have a full project plan laid out of how they're going to address each and everything. And again, yeah, at $3,000, it's not going to be something that you can easily go to the Best Buy and pick up. It's going to be akin to that. What was that big table that Sarcastic Gamer joked about years ago? You remember what I'm talking about? The table?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Surface.
Was that the Surface table?
I think it was called Surface, yeah.
Okay, well, that.
And then they released a tablet called Surface also too.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the thing that people were expecting. I think you and I played with it at a hotel like many years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the Surface.
Yeah. That's something that's around the same thing that they're talking about. Okay. That thing was like $4,000-$6,000. That's not for public consumption. In a way. Yes, it's for public consumption in the hallway or in the lobby of a hotel. But for someone to go and buy one of these things, it's a totally different tax bracket you're talking about. The normal consumer is not going to buy HoloLens. Normal consumer is going to pick up one of the lower tier versions, which is designed for the public, for the mass public, and to integrate with one of their products, whether it be Scorpio or whatever the game system it is that they're pushing when it's ready to come to market, whether it's Windows 10, Windows 11, what have you. It's not going to be HoloLens that the Danny Peñas or the Peter Toledos or the Paris Lilies are going to have in their bedrooms or in their living rooms.
It reminds me of, remember the Google Glass?
Yeah.
They were selling it for, how much was it? Was it $1,500?
Yeah.
If you like buy a straight from Google.
And how many people had them for long-term and, permanent use?
Yeah. And nobody, actually, they never came out with a retail version.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah, because $1,500 for something like for an uber niche product is not public consumption type equipment, man. There's no way.
Yeah.
Although we'll that new iPhone 7, the new red one that's coming out at the end of the month for $900, is that ready for public consumption?
No. All right, so head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag and listen to our past episodes. And yes, subscribe, go to iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, we're going to wrap it up here. And tune in next week. We have more content, more stuff coming up. And anything else, guys?
No, I think that's about... Oh, I'll say this. Miss Leo told you, boy, the Mass Effect scores. I freaking told you. I said it on the last episode. I can't remember. I got to remember to say that. And I was catching it on Monday, too. People mad at me because I was tweeting about Mass Effect. And I was saying, I'm not going to play it. And I was freaking right, and everyone got mad at me. I was right.
But there's a lot of people that do like it, though, Paris.
Hey, if you like mediocrity, that's just good for you. I'm not playing a mediocre
game. Wow. Wow. Oh, my God, he went there.
No, I on the real, all jokes aside. Yeah, I mean, it's a 7.58 type of game. It's not that it's bad. But it's not great either. For me, I want great when I talk about Mass Effect. If it wasn't called Mass Effect and it was called Danny and Pete in Space, then no one would play it. But because it's Mass Effect, I want it to be amazing. And it sounds like, because I've not played it. So I'm saying this from a point of ignorance. I'm literally only going by impressions and things that I've seen on the internet. But by those impressions, this is shaped up to be a very average game that probably could have used another 6 to 9 months of development time. And whoever wrote the script for this probably should have been fired and they got someone else in there. That's what it sounds like to me. I know that is harsh and I know people get mad at me for saying this, but this is just the God honest truth. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. The Witcher 3 has set the bar. And if you don't reach that bar, then you're in trouble. Because that is the new gold standard for this generation. Zelda has obviously gotten there. Horizon Zero Dawn has obviously gotten there. Mass Effect, not so much.
What are the odds that Paris gets Mass Effect Andromeda in 2017?
Wait. Let's clarify it. Paying for it or someone gives it to me?
No. Coming out of pocket. You're coming out of pocket.
probably 20%. Let's be real again. Let's break it down. Let's just be real. Yeah. I'm about to jump back in Destiny because I'm playing a raise a little bit, right? I'm still playing Ghost Recon. I got to finish Horizon Zero Dawn. I'm going to play Zelda at some point. You know, Destiny 2 is going to come out. Mario Odyssey is going to come out. So, you know, Red Dead's going to come out. On and on. I mean, let's start adding it up. At some point, Mass Effect just gets pushed further and further down the list. That's all I'm saying.
Is this Arkham 2017 all of a sudden?
Not even that, because I was dumb enough to buy Arkham. So
True. You had that before launch. That's true. You had that pre-ordered and ready to go.
Yeah, I pre-ordered. But it's funny you bring that up. That is the game that scarred me to make me so freaking picky and just salt-filled and angry like I am right now. Because I paid full retail price for that game because I was so committed to the Batman series, and they screwed up the PC version so much that by the time they fixed it, which they really didn't because SLI still doesn't work on it, but by the time it was in a playable format, I had moved on. So that was just money down the tubes for me. And I'm not doing that anymore.
Paris, welcome to next gen, man.
Yeah, in your freaking world, I might as well get an Atari 2600. That's next gen. Because it's the cheapest option.
All right, on that note, we're going to wrap it up. We're out. Peace.
Well, screw you.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.